So thank you all for coming. I know that I'm not the speaker you expected, but God always has plans. Mm-hmm. And so the reason I couldn't make it to do it on the 14th of October, like originally scheduled, is I'm going to start teaching on Wednesday nights. I got a call on Monday from Space Coast Massage Institute, and I'm going to be teaching the anatomy and physiology over there. So I'm excited about it. So God's always moving us into new and wonderful things, things we don't always expect. He's always good, and his leading is always kind of, there's always a wow factor, isn't there? Okay, so my life verse is Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you to have courage and to go? And he promised to be with all of us, but he promised to be with me wherever he goes. And he's taken me on some really amazing places. And this is a love journey, like all of ours is. So, my first memory of talking to God was, I was in second grade, and I misplaced a library book. And I tore my house apart looking for this library book, because back then you had to pay the library dues, late fees and things like that. And I could not find this book for months and months. To give you an idea of what I thought Father God was like, I prayed, God, if you help me find this book, I will never ask you for another thing as long as I live. So my concept of Father was someone who didn't want to be bothered, who didn't have time, who couldn't or wouldn't take the time to find a lost book. That's the home life I came out of. I've learned a lot along the way, but for a long time I was just a churchgoer. I came from a family, my mother went to church, my brothers and I went to church, not the same one. This little town that we lived in, mom and my brothers and I walked two blocks up to the top of the street, and my mother turned right and went down to the Catholic Church, and my brothers and I turned left and walked up a block to the Methodist Church, and my father stayed home or played golf. So I don't remember us ever pulling the Bible out. I never heard the Christmas story, except when I was in church. I never heard the Easter story. But I was a churchgoer. And so I'm pretty sure that all of those wonderful people that taught me Sunday school prayed for me. People had to be praying for me, because when I was 16 years old, I gave my heart to Jesus. I'm in a youth group, we're at an ecumenical retreat, and this person tells this story about this mound of clay who goes through all of these processes screaming, please take me away from this, from the hot sun, to being molded on the potter's wheel, to being fired in a kiln, to all of these other things, and then being painted and suffocated to death, screaming, please, Lord, please take me away from all this. Anything would be better than this, until that item gets put in front of a mirror. And that little mound of clay that screamed for the hot sun to go away said, oh my God, I'm a beautiful teacup. Thank you. So that's my life. After giving my heart to Jesus, I didn't know what else to do. Funny how none of my Sunday school teachers actually said, this is a Bible, you should read it. But I went to college, and there were three churches that I attended in, off and on. There was the Catholic Church, otherwise known as the Father Kellogg Show. There was a church that met in a movie theater. It was ecumenical. I liked it until they brought in people from Planned Parenthood to talk to us. And then there was a Methodist church. It was very traditional. They had a choir. I joined the choir. This is kind of what I grew up with. But I felt something there that I didn't feel elsewhere. I didn't have the vocabulary for it back then. But I now know I felt the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I now know there were things happening behind the scenes and in my heart. Mm. Well, then I went to St. Louis, and nobody I knew went to church, so I stopped. Until one Easter, one of the guys in my class said, "Hey, I'm going to church on Sunday, Michelle, would you like to come?" I said, "Yes." And that's where it hit me once again. Something, someone, has been missing from my life. I got married. I married somebody from school. He was brought up Catholic, but he wasn't practicing. It never dawned on me that somebody wouldn't believe in God. So it was kind of an interesting time. he didn't hate God. He kind of knew about him. He had rejected the Catholic Church and its teachings. But he wasn't a churchgoer. So for years and years and years, I went to church alone, brought my kids and like that. But even back then, with my very limited knowledge and my off and on relationship with him, God can still use people. So the first year of our marriage, we were living way, way up north in the tundra in a place called Fumisville. And there was a lot of trees, and most of the people that worked actually worked way out in the woods, and they would come home on the weekends and be with their families. So it was kind of hard to have a social life. But I did notice that the lady that was my husband's secretary had a Bible on her desk. So with my very, very broken French, I asked her, "Are you reading that?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Do you go to church?" She said, "No." Well, I had met this lady named Rhoda, who told me that she was a Christian. And honestly, I looked her right in the eye and I said, "Oh yeah, I did that once." As if there was a list of life experiences and you just kind of check the boxes and go on to the next thing. But she and I had started meeting, and we had gone to this Pentecostal church an hour and something away. And every Friday night, the pastor and his wife and a couple of people from that church would come and do church for Rhoda and I and her husband sometimes. And that had been going on for a couple of months. And then I asked Kristen about her Bible reading, and she said she was looking for a church. And so I invited her to come to this Friday meeting. This little meeting that went from these church people from Setzil and two or three of us went to 20 people like that. And they bought a building the very next year. So if there's a harvest, all you got to do is open your mouth, and you don't even have to be eloquent, because trust me, I wasn't. But then it kind of occurred to me, wow, God can use even me. Isn't that amazing? It's to this day, it blows me away. So then I moved to Quebec City, a little closer to normal for me. And I started going to a Pentecostal church because that was the contacts I was making. And for the first time in my life, I met a congregation of people who just loved the Lord and loved people. I was pregnant with our first child. They threw me a baby shower. I had nothing. They gave. And over the next 20 years, I learned. I did Bible studies with these women. I did life with these women. We raised our kids together. just walking with the Lord. So that church family, they loved me and I loved them, and I became an integral part of a church family. And that was kind of when I realized that that's who your family really is. I mean, your biological family is great and wonderful, and we love them. But the church of our heart is the church, the family that God gives us wherever we happen to be. And that truly is what I have now with all of you. We've walked through some stuff. You've walked through a second marriage with me. You walked through the dating process with me, and some of you went, oh my God, where is she sitting this week? Is she sitting next to him, or is she sitting on the other side of the congregation? It was easy to tell where our relationship was during those 3 years that we dated. that's what you all are doing with each and every person that you sit next to at church on Sunday or across the way from, is you're doing life together and you're loving, and it matters. It matters to me. You matter to me. It's part of my love story.
Amen.
I'm going to back up a little bit. During the time that I was in Quebec, the Toronto Vineyard went to the Toronto Airport. They changed names. Although I never personally went to Toronto, I went to a lot of meetings that were associated. I have met, I'm thinking his name is Bob, and Carol are not.
John.
Carol, thank you. I was like, that's not right. I met them. They came to a church that I went to in Montreal. It was really interesting. The pastor and his wife got slain in the spirit. Their feet started going like this on the floor, and I'm going, Lord, get me out of here unless this is you. And the peace of God came over me, and I went, okay, Lord, what's next? And as I think many of you experienced here at the same time, going to the TAB and other places, God was on fire and stirring us up and teaching us new things. And I went to a lot of prayer meetings, and I went to a lot of God meetings, and I don't know what you call them, but it was a wild time. It's part, again, of that love journey. I also became part of Women's Aglow. Women's Aglow had come into Quebec City and been pushed out 3 times. Satan doesn't like these para church groups all that much. He works really, really hard to push them out. But if you click with one, stay with it. It's probably worth it. I learned a lot from them too. And then in 2004, I'd been praying for a couple of years, Lord, teach me to love you like you deserve to be loved. Because I felt like I didn't really know how. And I don't know if it was the result of that prayer or whatever. I don't think so, because God doesn't make bad things happen in your life, but he certainly uses them. In March of that year, my husband at the time announced that he did not want to be married anymore, at least not to me. So 2004 was a pretty tough year, and I hung on to Jesus, probably by the skin of my teeth and the tips of my fingertips. But I had wonderful, wonderful Christian friends who never let me go. And they still haven't. I'm still in touch with all of those wonderful people to this day. So I know that when we give our heart to someone, even if there's a distance, a physical distance between us, that heart is knitted together for a lifetime. And so are we. So I moved to Florida because most of my family was now down here. Never in my life would I have ever told someone, oh yeah, I'm moving to Florida someday. So when I was a little girl, we used to visit here in August. And I don't remember it being really comfortable. My grandparents lived here, my father's parents, and he would come, you know, his work closed down either the last 2 weeks of July or first 2 weeks of August, and this is where we come, only the other side of the state. And so when I first moved back here, I'm going to Ringling Brothers and Weekiwachee and all these places I went to when I was this tall. Yeah, I really was that tall. But God's hand was on me in that process of starting over. There were those really awful times. I remember driving to a Bible study one night, and I had just learned the news that on the day that I was going to be walking into my first national board exam for chiropractic, my ex-husband was taking his girlfriend to Costa Rica. And we had never gone anywhere on vacation. I was devastated. I was furious. I'm yelling at God, this isn't fair, this isn't fair. He's the one who just, why am I having to pay? I was what I call being Israel. I was complaining. And I'm driving to this Bible study and God had to yell at me, Michelle, because he had to get my attention because I was too busy complaining. And he said these words, Michelle, don't you think I'm more invested in your future than even you are? Yes, Lord, I'm sorry. You know, he really doesn't ever leave us nor forsake us. I got a job, I started studying, I did not pass my first board exam. So I'm like, okay, Lord, if I'm working 50 weeks a year at this job, only making $11 an hour, I'm never going to be able to afford a home again, I'm never going to be able to do anything ever again, what do I do? What do you want me to do? So he sent me to massage school. And that gave me the flexibility to kind of have my own schedule and to study for my exams. And when he says, I will provide for you according to all of my riches and glory, that's exactly what he means. It's not just financially, although he did that. I was absolutely shocked. My first year as a massage therapist, I made $36,000. My husband and I together never made $36,000. So that was a huge, I mean, to me, it seemed like an astronomical sum of money. And when I needed to study, he gave me blocks of time. When I needed a client, he gave me blocks of clients. When I needed food, a friend would show up, hey, I thought you could use this sandwich. I mean, it was amazing. He is amazing. He knows what we need. He knows. Did I pray all those prayers? Lord, would you please send me lunch? No, I didn't. I prayed the more general ones. Father, lead me today. Father, help. One of my favorites. Papa, I just want to do your will. Help me do that. So, time passed. I did finally pass all of those board exams. I became a licensed chiropractor as well as a licensed massage therapist. I've got so many letters after my name, it's disgusting. I don't need any more. But they really don't mean anything. You mean something. He means everything. I'm at a massage event. Well, I'm at an event where I'm massaging people. And something was up with Brian's dad that weekend, but Ann was there. and they had a booth. And Ann and I ended up talking after that event for like 2 hours as we stood outside by my car. Unbeknownst to me, she went home to Brian and said, I just met our associate. Mm-hmm. Years before that, I had gone to Freedom Christian Center and Tim Franklin called me and he said, what can I pray for you for you? And, you know, I told him my story and he goes, oh, well, when you're ready, you should contact Brian Walsh. Mm-hmm. I totally forgot about it because I was busy taking those exams. And yet, see, God was weaving a tapestry. This is where I'm supposed to be. I worked with Brian and Ann for 6 years. And then one December morning, 2014, God wakes me up and says, okay, it's time. Time for what? Time for you to go out on your own. What? Why? We were getting along fine. There wasn't any issues. But God had told me all of those years ago to promise Brian that I would never leave unless God told me to. I wouldn't ever leave because I was disgruntled. I wouldn't leave for any other reason other than God told me to. I was absolutely shocked that he told me to. So I'm like, but I felt like I had made a covenant promise, and it was really important to me not to break it. So I'm like, Lord, I really need to know that this is not my own thing, so you have to confirm. And he did. I had been driving along Wickham Road just trying to get an idea of where chiropractors were, and I, of course, had a non-compete clause with him, so there was a certain distance where I couldn't have my office. But I dropped my mother off to get her hair done, and I'm going up North Wickham, like through Suntree, and I'm stopping at different places, and I'm pulling in, and I'm praying, you know, that said, you know, space for lease. And I'm praying over the places, and oh, no, this isn't it. I took the numbers down, but I'm like, no, this isn't it, this isn't it. And I realized I had to go to my dentist, and I had to finish paying off my bill. So I went there and I did that, and I had a conversation with the office manager. And I was asking her about this location where they were, which was behind Uno's in North Wickham, right off the highway. And she said, yeah, we bought a building up the road. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit drops it into my heart. The only building I know about where my sister-in-law worked. I said, that wouldn't happen to be a pink building next to a pond with a church in it, would it? She said, yes. I said, would there be space in that building for me, or is the dentist taking over the entire space? She said, no, there's going to be room. I said, do you think he'd consider me? She goes, I'll put in a good word for you. You see, he weaves. It's a tapestry. He knows what we need before we do. He knows where he wants us to be. He knows who we're supposed to encounter. He knows, and he provides. So then, believe it or not, 2 years ago, I'm at a seminar early January, and it suddenly dawns on me that this office that I've been in that's been absolutely wonderful for 4 years is now too small, and I have no room to grow, and staying in it would keep me small. So once again, okay, Lord, I'm supposed to move. I get it. Where? How do I know it's going to be where you want me to be? This was January 4th. He says, you need to be out of there before the end of February. So I start looking, and I learned that it takes 6 to 8 weeks to get a permit in order to build. So that already eliminated any empty space. And When I walked into the office I now have, I knew it instantly because it fit his criteria. And it felt right. So I know that there's a lot of people who say, the Lord told me this, the Lord told me that, and he does. But so often in my life, it just seems that my answer just seems to be the most practical one. But maybe that's because that's my nature. That's the way he made me. Some people are really feeling people, and I love that. Me, I'm kind of more analytical, unless I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, and then I'm a total wreck, as you've seen. But as I was writing down, I called Anna immediately when I realized, oh my gosh, I'm going to start teaching on the very night I'm supposed to start this new job. I'll call Anna and I'll just tell her I can't do it. She's going to have to find someone else. And as I'm talking to her, Holy Spirit's saying, you can switch with her. And I'm going, ah! But she was so gracious about it. I offered and she said yes. And I'm like, again, his provision. So I got off the phone with her and I just started writing. And I didn't stop writing for over an hour. And there's so much more I could say about the time that I went to Mexico with my youngest daughter to meet my oldest daughter, and they weren't there to meet us when we got off the bus. And I had no idea where in this, I mean, I knew I was in the right town, thank God for that, but I had no idea, because by this time my daughter had changed where we were going to meet four times. So I stopped looking at the maps to see anything about it because I figured she was going to change it again. And so it's late, late at night. I've got no place to stay. I've got all of the money that I've exchanged into pesos is virtually gone. I've got to go to a bank. I mean, it's nuts. And the bus station turned out to be way out on the edge of town, and it was closing, so we couldn't stay there. So with the last of my Mexican money, we got a ride into the center of town, and I saw youth hostel and went in, and the lady says, we don't have any place for you. I went, okay. So one of the guys in the lobby says, well, I'll walk with you, and we walked around the square, and there was no room, and there was no room, and there was no room, because this was the day after Christmas. So we come back to the youth hostel, and I'm like, I don't care. I am so tired. My daughter's exhausted. I don't care if you just give me a patch of tile on the floor, please, somehow. She said, well, actually, our computer shut down, and while you were gone, I was on this piece of paper figuring out which beds were occupied. She goes, I only have two beds yet. Now, by this time, I am totally out of money. And she says to me, but I've closed out the register for tonight, so could you pay me tomorrow? And the next morning, I got up, and that young man was right there in the lobby. And he goes, let me take you to breakfast. And he did. And then we got to the bank, and then we found an internet cafe, and I emailed my daughter. And the whole time that we're eating breakfast and doing this stuff, I'm praying, Lord, I have no idea where to even start to look for my daughter. I have no clue. And we got back to the youth hostel, and I paid the lady for the two nights that we were going to be there. And lo and behold, there's, you know, as we're up in the room, kind of getting our stuff together and trying to make the day plan, the lady from the front desk kind of came upstairs and she says, are you Michelle? I said, yes. She goes, there's someone waiting for you downstairs. And it was my daughter. You know, so sometimes God's answers are like this, and other times we have to wait for them. But he's always worth waiting for.
Amen.
And he's always worth seeking.
Amen.
and he's always worth loving because he loves us back more than we could ever ask or imagine.
Amen.
So this truly is a love story because he took this girl who thought he didn't want to be bothered and turned her into someone who seeks his face every day. It's true. I cannot live or breathe or move without him. And it's been a wild ride. And it's not over yet. This is just the beginning. And every day is better than the day before. And the people that he brings into our lives are so special. It's not that hard to see. We just look through the eyes of Jesus. That's it.
So what do you feel like the Holy Spirit would like you to pray for? Impart.
Okay. Well, I'm a big hugger, so everybody stand up and grab the hand of the person next to you and somehow be connected. I'm going over there.
Okay. Heavenly Papa, we just come before your throne. You are so awesome. You are so wonderful. You are so constant, faithful, true. You are like no other. And Papa, you love us with an everlasting, reckless, insane love. No matter what is going on with us, no matter where we are in our walk, whether we are someone who comes and goes like I did at the beginning of my life, still you seek us out, you pursue us. Papa, give us the courage to say yes. Say yes. We want all that you have for us. Yes. We want everything. We don't want to miss one moment of this wild ride that you have for each and every one of us. Yes. And some days seem pretty mundane, but lots of days are mountaintop experiences, and some days are valleys, but you are the God who is there through it all.
Yes.
And you are the God who gives us sunshine, and you are the God who gives us rain. And
thank you.
During this past year, you've helped me expand my garden, and you've expanded the garden of my heart as well as my physical garden. And I know that you are continuing to do that in each and every one of our lives. And so thank you, Papa.
Thank you.
That's really what I want to say is thank you, thank you, thank you, thank
you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I could never say thank you enough.
Hallelujah. Yes.
And so thank you.
Thank you,
for this
Jesus.
Time, and I pray that I touched somebody's heart.
Yes, hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Thank you,
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.